You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Kito, Charlie, Charlie Papa Tango, anyone listening? This is Kito, Charlie, Charlie Papa Tango, anyone listening?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
This is Kito, Charlie, Charlie Papa Tango, listening. This is KCCBT. I'll be clear.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
You're making it in, but it's weak.
KFASQN. Roger, that was with my, that was with my bow thing on my HT, so, yeah, I'm not echoing right now. I was testing my, signal strength, but thank you for responding. I appreciate it. I just made a, rat tail. I found out mine was too long, so I cut it out 19.5 inches, and, yeah, I think I'm audible.
They help a little bit. Yeah, you're making you're a little bit better copy on that one than you usually are with the HD. But
Hey, Roger, yeah, I was just testing it in different places. Like I had that rat tail on
the
little top. That was the first one. Second one, I didn't have a metal pot underneath it. And now I'm going to see what it does when I move it in the middle of my window.
Okay, we doubled a little bit. They also make an antenna. You can make an antenna with the foil tape. It's got a large enough window. You can slice that foil tape and make a dipole on the window, tape a short piece of coax to it, well, as long as you need, and just tie an ugly choke in the end of it, put a set of alligator clips on the end, and clip it on to the dipole, the makeshift dipole, and then if you've got a spin wave meter, just check it, and you can cut the segments off of it. Foil tape for, like, furnaces.
Roger, yeah, I want to make, some of those antennas and stuff, some of those homemade antennas, I don't have any cold kill cable right now, or any of the connectors, but, saving up money to get a, cold kill cable with the SMA stuff on it.
Well, what you do is you go on Amazon, and they've got piles of the adapters. And then you go with a BNC adapter, and then or the adapter to go to a 239, and then you just get buy a piece of coax, you know, so many feet long, and then you just knock one of the ends off of it, a foot and a half, 2 foot long, you know, like a 20-foot piece of coax, and then you've got a short one that you can use for a handheld beam, and then the longer one you can tie an ugly choke in that, and well, you probably want to cut 2 feet, maybe 3 feet off the end, and then you use the longer one, and then you strip that back and use the alligator clips, and then you can pretty much clamp onto anything, but the tape, the aluminum furnace tape on a window for a dipole works pretty good.
Roger, I've heard about that, keeping it on your window, sorry. But yeah, I've been wanting to try that out for a while now. You probably already know that, this, I'm using that 3-foot tape, it's an Aubrey antenna. It's not the best quality, but it works. I like it. But yeah, this is the repeater I can hit, the only one I can hit and I'm audible. And on Simplex, I'm obviously pretty good, depending on where you are, and I've talked to somebody on Simplex, so, yeah, it was just reminding me when you were talking about the alligator clips, I want to get this HF receiver so I can listen to, the buzzer and stuff, over in Russia, and they have alligator clips, they, clip onto the antenna and you can throw it up in a tree.
I'm running, he has an auto tuner, that's all I have. Well, I've got more than that up here. I've got a 100-watt rig, and a large 3kW, and then a 300-watt tuner. They're all both mechanical.
Roger, yeah,
You can make
I've never,
a cable with that
watt,
too,
what?
But you got to cut
I've
it.
Never heard of that.
You do a half wave over a quarter, and then you pinch up the end, and that way you're not messing with a tuning stub at the bottom, and you leave the bottom unhooked and alligator clip it like that. So you do your quarter wave next to it in a J. You just have to cut that tape out. You can, it'll be tall enough. You'll have to stick it on a sliding glass door style window, but it works. That'll give you 3 dB. That'll double your radiated power. It'll take your 5-watt PED up to 10-watt ERP.
Roger, yeah, I'm going to try that out. I've been wanting, like what I said, I've been wanting to make my homemade stuff for a while now. Just, yeah, the only thing, I don't have that, those coaxial cables, but, yeah, I didn't think that through. I could just buy the SMA connectors, like I used to a pile of them, and then get, a roll of coaxial cable. But, yeah, well, I'm glad my, radio managed to get into the repeater. I'm in Emily City, and, I can't wait for the W8LP repeater to get moved closer where it used to be because that thunderstorm, that really bad storm snapped it, and yeah, I think it's like farther in Lapeer or it's like in a different city, I don't know. But yeah, I can't wait till it gets closer so I can come in better.
Yeah, he's much further, but. Yeah, like I said, if you get one with a 239 on the end that you use for HF, then you can use it for other projects later once you upgrade your license. But you cut like three, you get a 20, 25-foot piece of with the 239s on the end, and then just pick up some adapters. And then the only thing you have to do at that point is the end where you cut it, you don't even have to solder the connectors on the 239. Where you cut it, you just peel that back, and then you solder that onto the antenna project, or you just crimp your alligator clips down, and then you don't even have any soldering to do if you're using the burnished tape. You can get a roll of that for like $4, and you can use two pieces of it to make a dipole, or you can use one piece and cut it in the J shape that you need, and then you just go up and down it until you find the sweet spot in your tune. But what you're going to need is a cross needle standing wave meter, or if you can't afford that, just a normal standing wave meter, but then you have to graph things.
Didn't want to double with you there. Yeah, Roger, I wrote all that stuff down. But yeah, once I get the stuff, because I think that's what I'm gonna do, because that sounds like a fun project to do. I'm gonna look on Amazon, like what you said, find that coaxial cable and that furnace tape and stuff. Well, that's a new project. I ran out of projects to do. I've been soldering lately. Just soldered something today. So, another good project. So, thank you. Appreciate that. And I had a question. Does a dipole, like a dipole antenna, does it only like when you transmit, do the radio waves like only go in two directions?
If you're looking at the dipole vertically, vertical polarization, if you look at it down from the top, it's like a dot, right? That radiates out, looks like dropping a couple in the water. But if you're looking at it from the side, the field around it looks like a donut. So when it's standing vertical, it's omnidirectional. It goes all the way around like a donut shape. But now if you imagine that turned up on its side so it's flat with horizontal polarization, then the donut stands up. So looking down from the top of it then, you're looking at something that has two lobes. It looks like a figure eight coming out from the antenna with the elements pointing right centered through the donut.
Roger, yeah, I didn't know that. I thought the waves only went two ways because it was called a dipole. Because like when I look at my tape antenna, it's got those two sides on it only, and it looks like a piece of tape. So I thought the RF signals only came out on each of those sides, but I didn't know it was omnidirectional. I didn't really look at or research, you could say, like the polarization, even though you'd think I would when I studied for it for my test, but no, I didn't look into it more. But yeah, I was wondering about that.
Like I said, when the dipole stands straight up and down, the donut is around the circumference. Like the dipole rods go up and down through the center of the donut, and right around the center where the coax ties on, there's a donut all the way around, so it's omnidirectional, it goes all the way around if it's vertical. So you got to think of it like light. So the light would be standing out all the way around it, so if you're looking down on it, it looks like a donut shape if you slice it, right, at the level of the antenna. But it's a donut, so you've got the equal amount going up and going into the ground. But when you look at it on the flat plane, the lobes go opposite of the direction the antenna is. And then so it makes it bidirectional when it's horizontal as compared to the plane of the ground.
Roger, yeah. Thank you for telling me. I appreciate that. Appreciate that a lot. And well, you learn something new every day. So I just learned something. I gotta go. I gotta eat breakfast. So I had a lot of pleasure talking to you. And you have a good rest of your morning. Yeah, late morning. And this is KF8FQN 73 and clear for now.
There's two types of energy, too, and they're on a 90-degree plane from each other as it radiates away. And you can capitalize on, an electrostatic force or a magnetic force, and they're on opposite planes, 90 degrees out of each other. So magnetic loop antennas is something that I build and done pretty well with them. They're great for tracking people down also, so because there's a null straight down the center where you can dial them right out. Matter of fact, they had something on an airplane, World War II time, a shielded magnetic loop that went right on the top of the airplane, and it was about big enough to just about put your head through it, and they could spin it, and they would triangulate with a shortwave station. 73 KV8OLE.
All right, Roger, I didn't know that stuff about the World War II planes, so that's fascinating. KF8FQN 73 and clear.
Are you there, KB8-OOE? You calling for me? Yeah, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Sierra Quebec. I just wanted to add on to that last cue. So, Amelia Earhart used one of those loop antennas, and one of the weak points is if you get turned around, your null is on the other side of you. Roger? Of course, 180 degrees out. Yeah, I post pictures of her often with that antenna, and they're pretty sure they've got her tracked down at this point, and what they've come to the conclusion is she had a... There was a map in the collection of maps missing that they didn't have with them, and they were trying to get information, and they figured she landed on a beach, and then once tide come in, it pretty much would end up washing the plane out, but they're pretty sure she was on a spy mission on top of everything else, but that's, I think Bendix or something, I don't remember. I wouldn't mind finding one, for sure, but I built mag loops that were shielded. Yeah, that's some interesting stuff. I was scrolling around on the YouTube the other day, and I saw somebody using this antenna array on top of their car with this software called Kraken SDR to, you know, track down transmissions as well. I thought that was pretty interesting, but very different method from the mag loop. All of that stuff is, you know, quite a rabbit hole to jump down, though, if you have a lot of time on your hands to spend watching the old YouTube. When I tracked down the guy that was accidentally putting the music over the LaFleur repeater, I used the tape measure antennas, and I dug pretty deep down the rabbit hole with the Kraken SDR and the switching antenna system. A lot of DIY things, and I got dozens of those things laying around from the 3D printers I was building and the router and plasma tables and whatnot. But anyways, yeah, it's pretty slick setting up that SDR and the controls on that stuff. It's a lot quicker than hunting them down with a Yagi, for sure, but yeah, that guy was, thankfully, was stationary. Now, when I built the mag loop, the shielded mag loop, the handheld outfit, ferro rods and all kinds of other stuff, I was trying to track down something around my neighborhood, but I needed a SDR to receive HF because it was not frequency stable. It was frequency agile, kept moving up and down the band. I figured it was pot grow lights the neighbors were using.
Yeah, that makes sense. Different frequencies for different times of day for the old green plants. That's too bad they didn't have it shielded, though. But did you ever track them down?
He died. And his girlfriend didn't have it together enough to grow anymore, but... that was the worst one. There's another one up my furniture shop, and I don't know what's doing it up there. I don't have the time to poke at it. But that one it was really bad. It kept climbing, and it would start over and over. And if you, because I've got what are those little radios? Hermes Light 2s. I've got three of them things, but you could see it on the bigger picture on those where you could see it scrolling up, and it was spurs all the way down and all the way above where I was at, and you could watch them climb. So the next one would come past you, and the next one would come past you. So I needed something that I could put in the palm of my hand, like a ferrite rod, and I could attenuate. Otherwise, I was never going to find it, because you set on frequency and go, and it starts squealing, and then it quits. So it was frequency agile, so chasing that one down was impossible. But I always had between 20 over and 60 over RF hash when I was working HF.
Wow, that's sounds like you got quite a few stories there. I'm like barely a month into my tech, KFA FSQ here. But yeah, I've been playing with the SDRs for a long time, and you do hear some weird stuff on there every now and then, just kind of poking around and listening. But I would like to get to a point where I can at least figure out how to do a fox hunt, but, you know, just taking it one page at a time on this learning. But yeah, hearing these stories is definitely getting me jazzed up to learn it.
There was a couple guys that were plugging at it, but I just got mad one day and just bought, I had an old busted Harbor Freight measuring tape, and I tell them why, how I cleaned the tape, sanded the paint off one end and then hit it with a real hot iron and then a harder solder, and then once I got that I could solder with a 30 watt or a 60 watt iron and then just make that, you know, just use plumbing fittings. And then a night or two later I cracked the guy down, and he, you know, he was stuck. My place is in Columbiaville. I'm not there right now, but tracked him down to over by the airport in Lapeer, and he was just a box on a radio, and he just cranked his stereo when he come home at night. It was in his kid's room because his kid was a ham too. KB8OE.
Yeah, that's wild. I when I was much younger, just playing around with Raspberry Pis and small electronics, I took a copper wire and put it on a GPIO pin on a Raspberry Pi, and like, hey, I made a FM pirate radio station. Well, within a week, there was a cop knocking on the door asking my dad some questions. It was kind of a learning experience. We'll put it at that.
And I was telling Wyatt, like, last night or the night before, you got to be careful on here, and don't get on the repeater system and talk too much about how we remote things, and, you know, leave that to somebody who's got it together enough to learn it, you know, and then, and not too much about, you know, cracking at the time when you're doing it, you don't want to bother, but, you talk enough about it. But while you're doing it, you don't want the, especially if it's malicious, you don't want the person to know that, hey, I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm an old Linux hack, and, you know, I've been playing around with web servers and all that stuff for a long time, and I hooked into the All-Star system the other day, and I was poking around at nodes, and I realized that if you dial into one node on an All-Star and then you dial into another node on an All-Star, you just have a bridge. That's probably not the best idea, and I can't really, I'm not going to describe how I did that, but it was definitely an eye-opening experience. I'm like, oh, yeah, probably shouldn't be poking around like that.
Yeah. Talk to the guys that run the machines before you get too crazy. You know, they definitely appreciate a heads up, and you know, generally they'll work with you, especially if you're into those types of programs. I haven't been into computers in a long time, but I was playing around with Feather and Puppy and especially Nopix and Debian. I used a lot of different types of Linux because I had a lot of computers laying around that I wanted to put back online and run them for a while and learn some of that stuff. And I tell you, some of that command line stuff is just, I'm just getting too old. And towards the end of the day, I can't hardly process basic math. And, it's like quadratic equations. It's going to be very difficult. Geometry and those types of things, and even with a third, fourth cup of coffee.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I definitely have those days where it feels like my fingers are dyslexic when I'm trying to type in grep and I keep typing GURP. It's definitely frustrating, but yeah, if you're not in it every day and you're not interacting with computers in that way via command line, it doesn't really make sense to take the time and you know, learn how to operate them and all of that stuff. I can respect people having their, you know, specialties and areas of interest, and that's how we all learn from each other, right? We all kind of specialize in our own areas, and then as we go along, hopefully we meet each other and glean some of that information from each other. But yeah, as it goes along, you know, the math and remembering all the commands and stuff. Luckily, they're trying their damnedest out there out west to make that something that the AI does for you. So at least you have that to look forward to.
Gotten to the point now where even copying and pasting sketches for the Atmel, the Arduinos, is using Chirp is difficult.
Yeah, I can only hope that they do more to, you know, help simplify those things. When I was learning all the Arduino stuff and C and all that stuff, I was just like, what's a baud rate? What's a, okay, you know, just going as fast as I can to to understand everything. But yeah, when you look back at it and then you have to recall, it's one of those moments where you're like, oh shoot, I didn't write anything down.
Well, there you get the worst that memory is. It's the further back memory is it's pretty easy compared to some of the short term, especially when you got the ADD. But I'm watching my dad get senile. I haven't spoken to him in quite a while, but I don't even know if he'd remember me at this point. He's pretty much gone. But you lose a lot of that, you know. But, yeah, I'm seeing guys writing sketches just by explaining what things do on the different pins, in and out pins on the Megas and stuff like that, on the Arduinos. And I wouldn't mind playing with the Raspberry Pi, because I see that they're making like standalone with the Hermes Light too. That's a really nice radio. I use the Thetis because the filters are so nice on Thetis. But you know, I've talked all up down the East Coast with like 100 to 300 milliwatts, and then to be able to filter what you're receiving, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out, see if it's something I can add to my stack. Right now I'm just working on a tri-band mobile Anytone, but I think I'm getting out there pretty well over VHS.
If you're going to copy me, I'm just using an HT right now inside the house. But yeah, you're making it in just fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. I'm out here, probably out towards like Heartland a little ways, by Fenton, maybe closer to Fenton, but I think I'm pointed at the Durand repeater, so that's quite a jump.
This late system, hold on, let me walk in the other room. I'm probably making a lot of racket. This link system, I'm up in Faster with an HT with a rubber duck on it. I don't even have, well, I got a long wire up, but I don't have anything set up because we're looking to part with a couple of our houses, and then we're looking for a big piece of dirt somewhere for antenna farm and honeybees and farm and a small landing strip, and I'm not going to do it on a city lot.
That sounds like you're looking for the right spot. I'm I grew up out in the country, and then I had to move into the city for school and work, and finally made my way back out to the country somewhat. But it's definitely not like I can go out on a dirt bike and shoot my .22 kind of country. So that's more up north for me. But someday that sounds great though. Antenna farm, a landing strip. Beehives. So are you going to do any farm plots, growing any beans or anything?
No, nothing like that. You know, the normal garden stuff, tomatoes, carrots, radishes, maybe some beets or something, and sweet corn. It's been a long time since I've gardened any. And, yeah, we're up here, you really, I'm going to probably have to get back into eating deer, I think, to keep the garden. Deer and rabbits are horrible up here. They're just everywhere.
Well, if you're above the deer line, you can get creative with how you get them.
I'll tell you what, I could just about spear one in town right here in Vassar. We're up by the park, but driving through town, I've almost hit a herd of them. They're all over town. They're north of town, in the tree line up there as you're heading towards, up towards 40. In between here and Frankenmuth out in the farm fields, there's just...
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot around
the
park.
They're
definitely a good sight for sore eyes. I feel like
right on the
over the last 10 years or so, I've been
walking across the bridge
all
over
the place.
To Tom.
You know, especially with a lot of the chronic wasting disease scares that go on. But, you know, seeing the population come back is good, but it's also a little bit nervous because that CWD is moving further and further up north.
A little bit there, but yeah, they're all over town. I've seen them walk across the bridge on 15 there, right over the river. You know, a couple times I've seen them on the bridge, but at the campground down there by the railroad tracks, I've seen as many as like in that park, and I'm sure they're the same ones that are walking through here.
You know what else I've been seeing a lot more of and hearing is coyotes.
Dozens up here. I keep my eye on the dogs because, like I said, I'm back by the park. So the wood line's back there maybe 200-300 yards. And you go out there in the nighttime and you'll hear dozens of them going off. And, you know, I can't believe, I mean, I've seen tracks through the yard where they come up out of the park through here, but I can't believe they haven't been house cats. There's a lot of house cats running free range, and usually they'll eat those.
KB8FSQ. Yeah, we had something last summer come by and grab one of our ducks. I don't know if it was a coyote or a fox or maybe even a raccoon, but the way it looked like it reached through the fence line there and like tried to pull the duck through, it had to have some kind of an appendage to hold onto the duck like with a grip. But it's possible that the duck was just being dumb and sticking its head through and a fox got it, I guess, or a coyote. But after that we put out some of those trail cams and we definitely caught a good sized coyote out there. So might have been that.
Oh, yeah, I was doing some work down there on Ore Creek, one of my expensive houses there just south of, I don't remember the name of that exit. Right there by the apple orchard. Anyways, down south of there, down dirt road, back up in there, I redone a deck that was out over the Ore Creek. And did a lot of other work there, too, drywall and furnace work and things like that, but solar door opener for a coop, and he had a hawk killing his chickens, and when they run around, there was a fox that was snatching them up too, but right down there, probably about where you're at, I worked that repeater from down there quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a few around here. There's N8IES, there's W8FSM, KCYGT, I think, out there on Dutton Hill Road. But yeah, definitely a good place for wildlife. And yeah, when it comes to hawks and vultures and all that stuff, they're all over the place out here. We have some camo netting that we put out, kind of like an awning almost, like a lean-to against the chicken coop, so that when the birds are getting harassed by something circling around like that, they can run and hide under there if something's going to swoop at them. But one other thing that we found works really well, better than most things, is just get a couple of geese. They turn into like the guard dogs of the whole fleet. It's crazy.
Got more goose stories and bee stories than I do antenna stories, let me tell you, being raised around geese and some evil swans. Boy, I'll tell you, I wouldn't even want them things around me. Geese are pretty good guard animals for sure. And you'd have to ask our UPS man. We hadn't trimmed the flight feathers off of that bird. It was about 3 feet off the ground, chasing him across the yard, and he cleared the ditch, and so did the bird, and the bird tried to get in the truck with him. That was interesting.
That is too funny. That is too... Tried to get in the truck with him, too. Yeah, they're definitely formidable when they're coming at you, and they're doing that skiing along the ground thing, flapping their wings and flying, but... Yeah, once you've had to vaccinate one or two, you know they're just kind of big teddy bears in a way. They're sweet animals when they know where their food's coming from. We'll put it that way. But yeah, we definitely had an incident like that with the DoorDasher a while back. He was stuck on the porch and the birds wouldn't let him off the porch. He had to call us and get help. It was good times.
This bird we had was a banny, and it looked just like the bird on the front of the cornflakes box. And that thing, I finally caught him and knocked all the feathers off of one side of wing, all the flight feathers. It couldn't get just high anymore. So yeah, I went to swinging on that thing. My dad walked right off the shotgun and turned him into a feather ball with it or a broom or something.
They get too close, they have a swing or grab at the neck is enough to count them to.
That's a fact. Them bees are mean. Swans are worse, though. That every once in a while, a couple swans will run somebody down into a pond and drown them.
Yeah, for the uninitiated, they are definitely terrifying animals. Swans, when it comes to geese and swans, I'd rather deal with geese any day. You know, I was out on a trail out one of the state parks out here. There was a bunch of kids stuck on the trail because there was two geese. But at the end of the trail, you know, I walk up, made some noise, and shoot the geese away. Now, if that was two swans, yeah, they'd be coming after me and probably ripping apart the kids on the trail.
Especially if they got some little babies around them, they get violent. Now, one down in Heartland, that I caught an owl in the barn, and it was one of those. I remember if it was a great horned owl or just a great big. It was just a big owl. I guess one of them round-headed ones. But man, that thing got mad, and it was trapped in there. It knew it was trapped, and it flipped its wings open and started waddling back and forth and hissing at me, and I'm like, you know, I don't think I want to fight that raptor today, because that beak, and it would click, and click, 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 like it's snapping its beak. So I didn't test it, because I've been around some pretty large birds, and that thing, although they don't weigh nothing, that thing looked like it would probably take a finger off.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess around with anything that's a carnivorous bird. I had a Quaker parrot, much, much smaller bird, but man, that thing, it could bite, it could hang on and bite, and it would not let go. So I can only imagine a bird with, you know, 10 times the beak size definitely would take a good chunk of meat right out of me and leave it for a pellet for some high school student to inspect later.
Dissect a bird pellet. Oh yeah, no thanks. Yep, that was, there was a couple of large hawks and owls down there because that dude's place was back in the trees. Like I said, it was right out over Oar Creek. Matter of fact, the house is kind of too close to the creek for my comfort. I told him he might want to sell that place because especially as mushy as the ground is, And he didn't like hearing it, but, you know, I don't know how the guy got away with building that thing back in the 70s. It was sketchy at best.
Either he knew the right person, or he went ahead and did it and asked for forgiveness later. But, yeah, I don't know why you'd want to set yourself up for something like that.
He might even have been the building inspector at the time. I just scratched my head every time I got near the place.
That seems to be a common theme here, though, in Michigan. I've lived here my whole life, and you see a lot of these lake houses and houses built, you know, in flood zones and everything, and they're beautiful houses, beautiful neighborhoods, and you got to, like, ask yourself, like, what are these people thinking, spending all this money on something that's just going to be destroyed in one big storm, you know?
Especially right out there in the bay. I watched one time I lived up by the bay. Within about 4 or 5 miles of it, and the wind changed, and usually the wind don't come from that way, but there's the ice on, and it started piling that ice up on the 5-6 houses over up there by Linwood, I think. I watched that bay clear out 2 or 3 times when the wind come from the southwest, and that was pretty phenomenal. I never would have believed it.
I think I remember seeing something. What was that called? A seach or something like that, where the storm pulls the water way, way out, like several miles. You can go out there and look at shipwrecks and stuff.
Seeing it in the bay was pretty phenomenal. And you see the Big Easy go underwater. You know, there's a storm there that's statewide or several states wide, and it'll push that water way deep over the levees. But I never really thought about it until I lived up there. KB8OOE.
Yeah, that's the beauty and the scary part of living in this state is you can go up north and find some gorgeous, you know, amazing landscapes, and at the same time get buried in some of the biggest snowstorms of your life.
We had a cabin up northwest of Lewiston, off 38 up there, and, you know, being down here, I didn't know how much it snowed. I knew it snowed quite a bit in Massalona because I've got a lot of family there. Well, back in the woods, and I had a hard time getting that with me, otherwise how I would have got back. And I thought, you know, I told the other guys, don't be coming out here alone, because if something happens, you might not get out.
Yep, my first vehicles were sedans and, you know, little cheap junker cars and all that. And, you know, as I got older, I kind of started to get some respect for four-wheel drive SUVs. I was originally one of those guys thinking, the gas mileage is so much better, I might go electric. And then the winter just beat some sense into me.
Yeah, I remember when the big deal was solar roads, dude, solar roads. And I thought to myself, yeah, I had friends that were, you know, thought that was the greatest idea ever. I says, yeah, maybe for Hawaii or Arizona, Yuma, Arizona, the solar capital, or New Mexico or Texas. The heaters in those things are going to be on more than the amount of electricity they generate a year here in Michigan. Can you imagine?
And not to mention how much salt we put all over the roads. I can imagine how great that is for a solar panel, just to put salt all over it.
Bathe it in that good old Detroit salt. Hey, I'm going to cut you loose. I got to put some more additives here in my in my crock pot because I plan on eating some of this stuff coming out of here a little later today. So I'll clear with you, and nice making your acquaintance. Name here is Mike. Mike in the Aquilo Echo. And are you a tech currently, or have you bumped up to general yet? I think you said you were studying for it.
This is KF8FSQ, Fred, Frank, Romeo, Echo, Doug. I am a tech. I am studying for my general currently. I'm just a few modules into the hamstudy.org stuff, so chipping away at it, but I'm getting there eventually. I want to get to some HF stuff, and I'm got most of my call sign memorized in CW, but I'm interested in learning more of that as well. So lots to learn, lots to understand, you know, wonderful hobby as it is. But yeah, enjoy your crock pot cooking there, Mike. It was nice to meet your acquaintance. This is KF8FSQ, 73, clear for now.
73, this is KB8OOE.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
This is KF8FQN testing. KF8FQN testing. KF8FQN clear. Turn to the echo, KF8FQN clear.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KCX.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KF8FQN. Sorry about the echo. Okay.
You're pretty noisy, so if you don't get anybody come back to you, that's why. Really, really fuzzy. WYRC. gets you on the input just by a little bit. Well, it all depends on where the repeater is located. You said 14 miles, but right now the repeater is further than that. So that's why right now if you, you know, it's like northwest of you. But anyway, that's the reason why. So just location, and the height and all that. But like I say, we'll get it here one of these days. 73 on WAYRC.
Okay, I'm sorry if I repeated this two times already. I'm on Echo Link right now. My radio, I was making that system, but I guess it wasn't transmitting. But I just said I didn't know the repeater was that far away. I didn't know the repeater was that far away, and I did not know. I think it's in Maysville or something. But hopefully this spring you guys can get it set up where it used to be. But anyways, I had a pleasure talking to you. And also thank you for telling me my signal strength. But 73U, and this is KF8FQN, clear.
Tell me your call again there, Wyatt. I thought I had it right. I guess it didn't.
Yeah, my call sign is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec November. That is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec November, KF8FQN.
Yeah, I just kind of seen where you're at compared to me. I can hear you on the input, but my antenna's up about 70 feet too, so makes a difference. But no problem. We're working on it. Hopefully we get in here by spring or close to it. Takes a lot of big project. Never know. The repeater where it was located at Maple Grove, you would have had no problem getting into it. But we'll see what we can do about that in the near future. 73, I got it wrong. WAYRC.
So the repeater wasn't where it used to be located in Lapeer or Maple Grove? Is that where it is right now, Maple Grove?
If it was there, you wouldn't have a problem, but that's where the antenna was for many years, and then had a strong wind or tornado or something, but anyway, folded it in half. But the building's still there at Maple Grove, where you on the east side of the school, you'll see the building still there. There used to be, I think, at least 100-foot tower there. But, yeah, the wind took that down. So that's why it's all down and out right now. WAYRC.
Okay, Roger, yeah. Yeah, I forgot it's Lapeer County Amateur Radio Club, and it's not Lapeer, like, the city. I always thought that it was located in Lapeer. I don't know what Maple Grove is, to be honest, but, well, again, I had a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for telling me all that. I thought that the repeater was in Lapeer, but, this is KF8FQN 73 and clear.
Are you down by Summers and Newark area?
Yeah, how do you know that?
I was looking you up on QRZ, and I see your place there. Anyway, the pool in the backyard. from where that location, you're definitely hiked from the repeater, so we get the receive site back up here, and that should help you. Now, can you hear the repeater okay, or is that coming in fuzzy too?
Depending where I am, without a rat tail, in some places, like outside, I can hear it, but I hear the repeater decent. I'm outside right now, and I'm listening to my radio, and I can hear it, but in my room, no.
Okay, so if we get a receive site back up here, you should be okay. So we'll work on that part. Anyway, 7-3, and catch up to you later. WAYRC.
Roger, pleasure talking to you again. You have a good rest of your day. This is KF8, FPN, 7-3 and clear.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Make your announcement again, Brett. I just brought the VHF link on. KVSWR.
This is Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Hotel Bravo, taking 3-net check-ins for the Michigan Amateur Radio Public Service Cornet. If you are listening on the Central Michigan Emergency Network link repeaters, you may also check in on this net. Please call K88REC.
This is Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey Ask Juliet.
Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey Oscar Juliet Roger. Got you at the list. Thank you for checking in. Out. Thank you. Alpha X-ray Bravo. Hey Charlie, thanks for checking in. I got you at the lid. You're loud and clear, over.
Roger, you are loud and clear also. Out.
November 8, Echo Romeo Lima. November 8, Echo Romeo Lima. Roger, you are loud and clear. I got you at the lift. Thanks for checking in. Net, stand by for the start of the net. Out.
VHF Hub, timeline.
This is an ARRL section level net. Regular participants include your section officials, MTS officials, assistants, and representatives from these groups. This is 88RHB. My name is Brett, and I hold the position of District 5 Emergency Coordinator. From the pre-net group, I have the following stations listed. November 8, Oscar Bravo Uniform. Kilo Bravo 8, Sierra Whiskey Romeo. November 8, Bravo Zulu Romeo in and out. Whiskey Bravo 8, Tango Quebec Zulu. Kilo Echo 8, Delta Oscar November in and out. Kilo 8, Juliet Bravo Delta. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. November 8, Hotel Echo Echo in and out. Kilo Echo 8, Romeo Romeo Foxtrot. November 8, Quebec. Yankee, Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Sierra, Quebec. Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha X-ray Bravo. November 8, Echo Romeo Lima. Those stations need not check in again, but other stations for the net, please call.
This is November 8, November Oscar Romeo. No traffic.
November 8, November Oscar Romeo Roger. Got you added on the list. Thanks for checking in. Our other stations, please call. Okay, hearing none. Max is off this week. He checked in and out. So I'll start off. Today, basically, not too much going on. I do have a Skywarn Officecom meeting Tuesday night here locally in Kellen County. Get to meet with a group and go over things with them. Other than that, I hope to have a District 5 EC meeting next week Monday, and hope haven't had one face to face in a while, so hoping to be able to do that. And then there's the first weekend there in March is the interoperability conference. So that's about all I have. So we'll go ahead and get started here at the top of the list. So November 8th, Oscar Bravo Uniform. What were your comments, Mike?
I don't really have any I'm glad to see the warm weather here. It's nice to be able to walk outside today and not have to have thermal everything on, and I'm sure everybody else agrees. Now we get to go through the mud phase, but thank you for being that control. Now I'll be sitting here monitoring if I'm needed. Any to you.
All right, very good, Mike. Yeah, I can't agree more. Thanks again for getting things set up. Next on the list, Kilo Bravo 8, here with your Romeo, Jeff.
Evening, Brett, and everybody in the net. Yeah, thanks, Mike, for getting it set up just trying to get some stuff done outside, so heard the net coming up, and here I am. A lot going on locally, not a lot on the public side, but a lot of stuff in the works, so we'll talk to you later. Keep it up here.
All right, very good, Jeff. Thank you so much for getting the VHF set up today. Thanks for everything you guys do. We really appreciate it. All right, we'll take the next one on the list is WBCQZ, and then we'll take the standby. Go ahead, Mike.
Good afternoon, Break 88RHP and Michigan Air. If you see that, WBATQZ here in Roger City, ECO, Prince Kill County, and Max, MXN Net Manager. Well, activity on the net is moving along fairly well. Propagation is getting better more of the time, and we're certainly glad for that. The weather, we've finally gotten a break from some rather extraordinary cold. I guess it's going to last for a few days. I have heard varying estimates of a weather event midweek, anywhere from next to nothing to maybe 6 or 7 inches of snow. So we'll be curious to see how that plays out. That's all to all the news here. Thank you.
VHF
Hub. Timer.
Okay, hearing none, back to the list, Kilo 8, Juliet, Bravo Delta. Go ahead, Jim.
KAGBD in the net, this is KAGBD. Name is Jim, I am EC for Washtenaw County. Thanks for taking the net, I appreciate that. There's not too much going on here right now, but starting the beginning of March, things start to crank up. We started our first siren net, so we're going through it. Try to go through and find all the busted sirens. If we find 3 or 4, they have an issue every year. So we try and find those out. We got a great group of people out there working on it. We're going to try and set up some in-person meetings for some of the people, starting with our RACES group for the county here. Those are basically county vetted. So those are the ones to go to first, and we'll also work down through the area thing and see what's going on. Currently going through and sort of pounding away at the Michigan Volunteer Registry. We're trying to get that set up here. Thanks to John Bloom, the NX08, our DEC for District 2, and that will give us some extra goodies for helping to activate people if we need to in the future. We've been working on that. Looks like it's going to be a good thing. Other than that, it's been a nice sunny day, nice long dog walk, and starting to get ready for my hobbies during the spring, fall, spring, summer, and winter. So we're starting to move into that. Looking forward to it. Don't mind the winter, but looking forward to the next season. Anyway, with that, thanks for taking that. Back to you. This is Kilo 8, Juliet, Bravo, Delta.
All right. Very good, Jim. Thank you for checking in. Good to hear from you. Good signal today. All right. Next on the list is November 8, Whiskey, Romeo, Oscar. You're up, Tim.
Hey, well, thanks, Brett. This is Tim, one of the AECs in G2 Macomb County. Also, not a lot happening here in Macomb since last week. We still have 30 active on our roster with 2 applicants pending now, so we got one more there. The group is testing and making improvements on our new website and the secure personnel database. It's really coming along nice, so a lot of work on that by our webmaster. We're looking forward to the MI5 training session with Jeff this Thursday. We're going to get that in by Zoom at the MISD building on Garfield Road in Clinton Township. For those who haven't visited our website yet, please take a look at it. It's macombarpsc.org. As always, we thank Mike, Jeff, and all at Central Michigan for the VHF-UHF links. It's all from Macomb County for this week. This is NAWRO. Back over to you, Brett.
NAWRO, this is KD8RHB would you mind giving that address again, please?
Yes, certainly. It would be Macomb, ARPSC, .org.
Roger. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Thanks for being on the net today. All right. NATE was in and out. So, hello, Echo 8, Romeo, Romeo, Foxtrot. You're up for comment, sir.
Error 205.
Kilo Echo 8, Romeo, Romeo, Foxtrot. You're up for comment.
This is Kilo Echo 8, Romeo, Romeo, Foxtrot. Don't really have a lot to tell. Basically, just checking you in and out. We did have a meeting with Kelsey County. Our building deal fell apart, so we are working on a new deal for it.
For your comments. I did copy that. Yeah, hopefully things will come around for you guys. But yeah, thanks again for checking in. Appreciate you checking in every week. Next on the list is November 8th, Quebec, Yankee, Quebec.
Well, good evening to everybody on the net. This is Dave from Detroit. First time on the net, got to listen in on a SBR last weekend, and brand new to the ARPSC community, just trying to learn all I can. So thanks for having me this evening, and appreciate it. Back to net control, N8QYQ.
N8QYQ, Roger, thank you for joining us. Glad you were able to. You got a good signal. I'm over in Killeen County. You got a good signal. Good. I'm glad you checked in, and welcome every week. All right, next station is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Sierra Quebec.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Sierra Quebec. Kind of in and out today. This is my first net as well. I got my tech a few weeks ago. Been listening though for a while. So just waving hello.
All right, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Sierra Quebec. Glad you got your ticket. Yeah, you're welcome every week. So just keep getting on here, and I'm glad you did. Thanks again for checking in. All right, next station, Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey, Oscar Juliet.
Yeah, good evening. This is Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey, Oscar Juliet. I don't really have much to say either. I tried to check in there on a node, and apparently I wasn't getting heard, so I went to RF to a repeater in Detroit there, and I forgot to add the in and out when you did hear me. So anyway, I just want to thank you all, the ARPSC, for all the work and effort you guys do to have systems in place in case they're needed there. It's nice to hear a dedicated bunch of people working all through the year. You guys have a great one there, and thanks again for all you do. KEAWOJ, back to you.
All right, very good, Rick. Thank you for checking in. Even though you meant to do in and out, it was good that you had comments. So it's always good to check in, and even if you just have a little bit of something going on, that's great to hear. So thanks again for checking in. All right, next station is Whiskey Delta 8 Alpha X-Ray Bravo. Charlie.
this tonight will be the monthly net of the St. Joseph County, Michigan Amateur Radio Club down in Centerville at the Royal Cafe at 6 p.m. So going to talk a lot about the upcoming HamFest for the St. Joseph Amateur Radio Club. That will be on Saturday, April 18th. From 8 a.m. till noon, nice little ham fest. There will be examiners. There will be volunteer examiners there for ham exams. And there'll be a spot for inside table rentals for the people that need those too. So you need to follow up with KC8 Alpha Alpha Foxtrot. Again, follow up with KC8 Alpha Alpha Foxtrot. His name is John, and as I understand it, the St. Joseph County HamFest for April 18th is listed at the ARRL website. So, looking forward to a lot of people there. Good to hear that we're going to try to have a District 5 leaders meeting later this month. So good to hear that, Brett. So with the rest of my croaking voice, I will turn it back to you. This is WDNAXB. Over.
All right. Very good, Charlie. Thank you for checking in. Hope you get better. Sounds like you're on the mend, and you sounded well, and you had a really good signal this afternoon. So, anyways, thanks, Charlie. Take care. No, next station is November 8th, Echo Romeo Lima. Steve?
VHF Hub. Timer.
Station ending in Lima. Give me your call again. Over.
November, number 8, Whiskey, Juliet Lima, J in Detroit.
November 8, Whiskey, Juliet Lima, J. I got ya. Thanks for checking in. Do you have any comments for the net? Over.
Just checking in.
All right, very good. Thank you very much for checking in. We're here every week. Hope to hear you next week. Any other stations wish to check in, please call.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec, November. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec, November. Wyatt from Emily City.
Kilo Foxtrot 8. Quebec, November. Wyatt, Roger. Thank you for checking in. Good to hear you. Do you have anything you'd like to say for the net? Over.
No traffic.
Okay, very good. Awesome, you're on. Thank you. Glad to have you on today. Hope to hear you again soon. All right, this is KD8RHB. Take another standby. Is there anyone else wishing to check in to the Michigan Amateur Radio Public Service Port app? Please call. Okay, I'll call it. We had 18 check-ins today. That's a really good net. I want to thank everybody that took their time to check in and have comments. Hope everyone enjoys this little spur of warm weather. Don't be fooled by it though. We live in Michigan. But anyways, everyone be safe and enjoy it. And hope to hear you back here next week. This is KD8RHB. This net is closed. Closed down out.
Thank you for being in control. Yeah, we're supposed to have some storms around Wednesday, but hopefully by next weekend it'll be bad night. 73-0, NEW clear.
Thanks, Mike.
Keep it severe. Yeah, have a good day, Jeff. Good luck working on whatever you're working on.
UHF Hub. Disconnected. Node 3270903 disconnected.
W1BLU, W1BLU, this is N8WRO. Nothing heard, N8WRO will be clear.
Hey, Jack. Jack, I think you're not on the repeater. I think you're on the output. So I'm hearing you just fine, but I don't think they're hearing you on the repeater. Right, that's the output. That's the repeater frequency, but you need to be 600 down from that, or 600 up, I'm sorry. You need to be at 147.8 when you're transmitting. There's a 600 kilohertz offset, positive offset. So that's why they're not hearing you, because you're not actually on the repeater. I'm doing real good. Why don't we move over, because I'm sure everybody on the network is only hearing me. They're not hearing, well, many aren't hearing you. Why don't we move over to, like, the 2.6 where everybody will hear. I'll catch you over there. W8FU.
T-O-T-D-I-S. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.